This morning, if you take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. This morning, you'll find our text in verses 36 through 47. We've covered most of that, but I need to read it to keep it in context this morning. Acts chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 36. And as you find your place, would you please stand with me so that together we might honor the reading of God's Word this morning. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. The Bible says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward, this cruel, ungodless generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, even as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask this morning that God, you would unveil and show us, Lord, a true picture of what the church needs to strive to look like in the day that we're living in, with all of the competing forms of entertainment that are all around us. For convenience sake, Lord, the church that meets together corporately, Lord, there are times when it struggles. It's just as easy to get up on Sunday morning and watch it on television. It's just as easy to hear a webcast or an iPod, or Lord, it's just easy to download a sermon and hear it along the way. But God, there's something about being in the house of God with the children of God, hearing the word of God, praying together to the God of heaven. There's something unique and special about that. Father, and what's so special about it is that's what you've commanded us to do. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves. And Lord, it's just one thing to assemble, but what are we to do? Lord, you'll teach us that again today. I am grateful for this church that, Father, we continue to tweak, we continue to strive toward that, Lord, which is pleasing to you as a church body. God, we want to continue to honor you. We want to continue, Lord, to seek your favor. And Lord, seeking your favor is not the blessings of materialism. Seeking your favor is the peace of God and the strength of God and the wisdom of God. Lord, that's what we are seeking after this morning. So, our Father, we come before you, and we ask today, Lord, show us those areas that we need to strengthen. Show us as a church family, Lord, the areas, God, that we're weak in. Father, help us today. We want to be the church that you will gladly pour yourself through in these days. God, take this offering that's about to be given. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the responsibility. Thank you, Lord, that you give us what we need so that we can be obedient. And I praise you and thank you for that. Take now this offering. Bless it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Our prayer should be that God will bless. It won't be the government. It won't be a lot of things. It won't be anything but God, ladies and gentlemen. And I tell you, we are at our best when we are on our knees, not groveling, not begging, but on our knees as Christian believers. and the freedoms that God has given us and ordained, and that we must seek His face. I think of 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take repentance. It's going to take stop being selfish and greedy. And it's being humble before God. Amen. And when we do that, then He says, He promises that He will do what? He will bless our land. He will bless us. Now, the Spirit of God is the only one who can show you what you need to do. This morning as we come and as we look at our text, we've gone over this. But what I want you to see this morning, and very briefly, I want you to see this. Watch verse 41. Then they that gladly received His word. Gladly received it. Remember now, to the Jewish mindset, you have to understand where they are. They're in Jerusalem. You've got the temple. You've got the Ten Commandments. You've got the sacrificial system. You've got all of this going on. And for them to gladly receive what Peter is saying, and remember, it wasn't just about 70 days before this that Peter was denying that he even knew Christ. It was not too, you know, short a time that Jesus was crucified by some of these same people standing in the temple square who were screaming for His blood, and now they're hearing a message about Him. And what's happened is this: the Spirit of God now is taking the Word of God. That's what Pentecost was. The Holy Spirit taking the Word of God through God's preacher, and he's more than just connecting all the dots. It's all makes sense. The very Messiah that the Jews had been looking for, they had just crucified. And it's more than just the fact of their sins. It's the fact that they had put a voice in murdering God's Messiah, their Messiah. Folks, it's one thing for us to sit down and just think about our sinfulness, and it's another thing to think about the fact that we had a hand in someone's death. And not just their death, we wanted them to die. And then we just threw away our allegiance to our tradition, through our laws. That's what the Jews did. And they said, we'll have no king but Caesar. And you know that's what people are doing in our day? They don't want anybody over them. They don't want anybody lording over them. They don't want anybody telling them what to do. They don't want to hear about a God of holiness and a God of righteousness. They don't want to hear, listen, they don't want to receive the word that is going forth across our land. They want it watered down. They want it, almost like a milquetoast Christianity. They want it to be comfortable. They want it to make them feel good. And then look where we are now. I mean, the Boy Scouts have thrown all their stuff away. Someone sent me an email. I thought this was interesting. I wasn't a Boy Scout, but some say, you know, if we allow the boys in that are gay, what's going to happen when they become adults? Do we throw them out of the Boy Scouts? I mean, this is just common sense, folks. But you know what? When you go against God's law, everything is upside down. Nothing makes sense anymore. Everything's crazy. Right is wrong, wrong is right. So here we have the Jews. They're standing there, and they're listening to Peter, and they're thinking, what, not what the nation has done, what have I done? I have put to death my only hope. The Messiah was supposed to come and deliver us, and I have put a voice in, and I helped putting Him to death. But yet, that was the bad news. The good news was that He had resurrected, and that He was seated at the right hand of the Father, and that He had a gift for them. See, that was all part of God's plan. You see, we live in our world today. You think, well, when you're dead, it's over. You better get it all in this life, because when it's over, it's over. You have nothing to look forward to. That's a lie, by the way. Really, I'm kind of looking forward to eternity, because that's when it's going to really get good. Why? Because I'm going to have a glorified body. And I don't have to go see the skin doctor anymore, and I don't have to see the orthopedic anymore, and some of you don't have to go to the heart doctor, and you don't have to go to therapy. That's going to be a good deal, I'm telling you right now. Just off the top, that's okay. Besides that, you don't have to lock your doors, you don't have to do all this stuff anymore. You can trust your neighbor. So, well, is that a bad... Well, I don't know where you live, but where I live, I've got to lock everything up. From myself half the time, but anyway, I have to lock it up. Why? And then you look at the insanity that's going around. Did you know that in the last 4 days there have been 3 volcanoes that have erupted around the world? You haven't heard a thing about that, have you? Because see, they don't want to mess up the global warming people. See, I'm cranky today, boy. I'm cranky. I am ready to fight. It's crazy out there. They don't want you to know about that. They're having snowstorms in Minnesota, but nobody wants, it's just a glitch. It's a glitch. Now, and then, I'm going to go ahead and get all this out of the way. Then we're going to have 17 storms this summer. Well, they've blown it the last 25. How do they know? They're guessing. And yet people, listen to me, we've got all this scientific data and we're making all these predictions and none of it ever comes about. And yet, what are you banking on when it comes to your eternity? What does your data look like? If we don't go back to the scriptures and if we don't start taking God at His word, for you, it's just going to get worse and worse. Me, I'm not going to be surprised by anything. Why? Because He said it's going to happen. Did you hear about it? Yeah? Where'd you hear about that? About 2,000 years ago, this guy wrote about it. Who did he work for? The AP? No, it wasn't CNN or anything. Fox? Nobody? No. It's called the Word of God. And amazing, these guys are just picking up on it nowadays. We've been at it a long time, folks. So here are the Jews, and it says they gladly received the word that Peter spoke. And the last thing that he said to them, verse 40, he saved yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourselves from the religion. Save yourselves from the tradition. They're standing in the temple, the Gentile, the court of the Gentiles. They're standing right there. And remember, Ezekiel, that God has been gone a long time from Israel. He took his hand off, and the Spirit left. And one day the Spirit's going to come back to the same place where it left. On the Mount of Olives on the eastern side of the city. So now they have hope. But let me show you what they did with hope. Watch verse 41. Then they gladly received His word. They were baptized. Now we talked about this. Baptism was a sign of their faith. Baptism was not a work that caused them to be saved. It was a sign of their faith. For a Jew to be baptized. Only the Gentile The proselytes. You got to be careful with those P words. They'll get you in trouble every time. The Gentile proselytes, they would be baptized into the Jewish faith. But for a Jew to be baptized, that means he's walking away from his tradition. They would have what they would call, when a Jew... A full-blooded Orthodox, when they become a believer in Christ, the Lord Jesus, the Messianic Messiah, they believe in the one that we believe in, the only one, they have what they call a Jewish funeral. You know what that means? You're still alive, but you are considered dead. They won't speak to you. You're taken out of the inheritance. You are dead. That's what they were facing in the first century. But notice what they did. Not only did they gladly receive His word and were baptized, and the same day, 3,000 souls were added. Now watch verse 42. Here's what the church looks like. If you want to protect yourself, if you want your church to be strong, these are some of the things that we do. Watch this. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now what's the apostles' doctrine? Everything that Jesus taught the apostles. Everything that Jesus said. Everything that we have. Everything that Paul learned from Jesus. Everything that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's all right here. The Old Testament, Jesus taught them. You remember the two on the road to Emmaus, how that He stopped and He began in the Old Testament and He showed them where He was in each of those pictures of in the Old Testament that He was the Messiah. And then He broke the bread and their eyes were open and they said, we did not know that this was Him. But what happened? Our hearts burned within us because the truth of God was there. So they continued steadfastly. Now, what does steadfastly mean? Consistently. Now, watch. It breaks it down. And it says, not only in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. In the Greek, it says, and they would go to the prayers. To the prayers. That means these were scheduled meetings, and that prayer was a formal thing for the church in the first century. They went for one specific thing. They had to go to the prayers. They had to go pray, and that's what they did. They had fellowship, they had breaking of bread, and then they had a prayer meeting. Now watch, look at the results of all of this. Verse 43, and great fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. You know what happens in the church where the Word of God is honored and it's consistently studied and consistently applied to the life? There's a holy fear, a holy reverential fear that takes place. But more than that, listen, signs and wonders. God can do miracles with believing people in that kind of an environment. That's what he's talking about. They believe God can do anything. And they believed what the angel told Mary. Nothing's impossible with God. Folks, I've been in some churches. I'm telling you, back when the Lord let me do revivals, and that's okay. I'm all right with that. I don't do them anymore. But that's because I get to do one every week here. But listen to me. I've been in churches where the aisles are just as cold as ice cream and the congregation is dead as a chicken. That's why they have ice cream socials and fried chicken dinners, because they're dead and they're cold and they're mean and they're selfish and they're greedy and they don't like people like me. I started on Sunday morning and I called Sandy and I said, oh, I wish the rapture would take place so I didn't have to go through this the rest of my week. She says, well, I said, it's like a funeral. I said, you ever? It's like resurrecting the dead. I mean, I'm looking for Lazarus. I mean, it's awful. You come in there, and I would just, and as hard as it was, I'd keep my sarcasm, and I'd keep my little funny self out of the way, and I would just preach, and I'm telling you, they were madder at the end than they were at the beginning. Why? They didn't want to hear it. I was disrupting their poor man's country club. I was disrupting everything. And this one church I went to, I'm telling you, I'm off today. There was a guy sitting right over here, David. If you act like him, we'll be burying you soon, brother. He was the treasurer. And the only time he even moved, I'm telling you, he looked like he was about 3,000 years old. The only time he moved, he'd watch them when they took the offering up. He's watching the rows. I think he was counting it because he knew what was going to be in there. And then as soon as they hit the back door, he got up and went out with them, and I never saw him again. And then on Wednesday night when they had the offering for the preacher, he's sitting right there. I think it irritated him. He had to come out on a Wednesday night. This is not what we're talking about here. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. You know what? You know one thing they had here that was a characteristic? They knew that it was more enjoyable to be with the children of God than it was to be with the unbelievers outside the four walls of the church. So they got their fellowship here, not out there. Watch what else it says. Verse 44. And all that believed were together, and they had all things common. Now, this is not a commune. The fact that it says they had all things common, it means they're all on the same page. Now, watch what takes place. Verse 45. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. That's important. The church saw a need. They didn't have a meeting. They didn't come tell the benevolence committee. The church took care of that. People say, you know what, I've just heard through a prayer chain that someone's got a need. Let's meet that need, okay? Let's meet the need. And they took care of it. Watch what else took place. And they, verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord, notice, in the temple, that took courage, but they went together as one, and breaking bread from house to house, that's fellowshipping, they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They had one thing in mind. You ready for this? You remember what Jesus said? Where two or more gathered, I'm in the... You know what they learned? Something that we forget sometimes. Listen, those who saw Jesus walking on the face of the earth, they missed him sorely. But now when they remember that verse, they say, well, two or three people are getting together. You know what? Jesus is going to be. I want to be wherever Jesus is, and he's going to be in the midst of that, so I'm going to be there. I'm not going to miss it. Folks, it's easy for me to get up here, and I can rant and rave and just go nuts about, you know what, how important Sunday night is and Wednesday night is. But you know what? If you don't see the need for it, it's no sense in me trying to feed you that need. But those of you who understand what that need meets in your life, you can't live without it. Now, I know sometimes things happen and you can't get back and you can't be here. I know that. But when he gave us that verse over in Hebrews, he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, such is the manner of some. You know what he's talking about? The pagans only meet once a week to honor their God and try to some way please this false God that they worship. But folks, listen, we need each other. We need that fellowship. Listen, I need you. You think, no, oh, no, listen, I need your encouragement. I need your fellowship. I need you here. I tell people from time to time, you take care of yourself because I need you. And they look at me like I got three heads. I say, no, I need you. I need you. Well, you're in numbers. I'm not in numbers. It's people. I need you. Because if, listen, I mean, this is common sense. If you're not here, I can't do what I'm supposed to do. You know, I tell you, you come in here in the morning about 7 o'clock, this place is kind of spooky. And I can get up here on Monday morning at 7 o'clock, and I can jump up and down, scream, holler, and yell. I can try to sing like Jeff. I mean, that'd be ugly. And you got all this going on, and you know what these seats are going to do? Nothing. Never got a commitment out of a chair yet. I hadn't given up. But you get the point. Notice what else happens. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. Proverbs, I believe it's 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies are at peace with him. You know why? You know why that they were having favor with the people? You see, these folks that were being saved, they didn't have to go back and get involved in the politics of the temple. They were done with the hypocrisy of the priests and the Sadducees. They were through with the flea market mentality of church. They realized that even though they had a part in his death, they realized and experienced the gift that he had given them in forgiveness. And they've never been freer than they were right now. And it was all because of Jesus. And that's all they needed. The one they thought they didn't want to live with or have anything to do with, they found that he's the only one that brought life to them. Jesus. And it says, and they found favor with all the people. They couldn't find anything wrong. Why? Because they weren't stealing anymore. They weren't lying anymore. They weren't committing adultery anymore. They were no longer drunkards. They had the best employees. Why? Because they were new men and women and young people in Christ, and Christ made a difference in their lives. They didn't act like the old Jews. They acted like the new ones. They were believers in Christ. That's the old man versus the new man. Folks, when Jesus moves in, things happen. Things change in your life. You're not the same person. And it ought to be such a drastic change. I'm not talking about overnight, but it ought to be such a drastic change. In the long run, it ought to be such a change that people look at you and they can trust you and they know you'll be honest and they know that you'll do the right thing. And why? Because of Jesus, that's the one that you follow. You act like Jesus. That's why the church had such favor in that day. You hear me say this from time to time, how important it is that we protect the body of Christ here. Let me tell you what happens. The Lord has a way of keeping a church close and clean. Now, this is my third church, and I've been doing this a little over 30 years, so I think I about got it figured out, but I'm not sure yet on some things, but I'm getting close. When someone wants to cause a problem in the church, you know how the Lord disciplines them? Now, back in the old days when I was first saved, I was like one of the sons of thunder. And I mean, if you heard me praying, you thought, you know, man, what are you, some kind of gladiator? Lord, just drop a hammer on him. I'm glad he didn't answer that prayer because I'd probably got the biggest hammer dropped on me. But I've learned this, that because the fellowship is so sweet, that when someone gets sideways and they decide not to honor God with their life, what's he do? He takes the fellowship away from them. What they lose is this fellowship. Because this is where God is. And it's not that we get all lathered up and that we... No, it has nothing to do. It's the fact that each one of us are in one accord. We're all on the same page, and we all want to do what? We want to honor Jesus with our lives. And so we love each other. We look out for each other. We pray for one another. We love to study the Word of God together. That's church, ladies and gentlemen. That's not events. That's not entertainment. That's church. And see, that's the first century model. And if we stay with that model, I think we're going to be okay. So, well, gosh, what about numbers? The Lord take care of the numbers. And He adds to the church. He adds, not us. He adds. So the Lord looks out here in St. John's County in Palm Coast, and He says, and we're Putnam, He says, well, you know, that they look like they'd fit in good over here. We didn't solicit them. We didn't proselytize them. You got to be careful with those P words. They'll get you in trouble, boy. Yeah, I heard what y'all do down there. Yeah. Well, that's just a preacher. But the rest of them are okay. But that's what we protect. So what do you do? First thing, you keep yourself clean and close. Why? Because what you are in your heart is going to affect somebody else in this place. You remember the lady who had the issue of blood? She was hemorrhaging all of her life. She'd heard about Jesus. One day He was walking. The crowd was all around Him. She's sitting there and she saw Him. And she's not even supposed to be around anybody, because she's supposed to stay 6 feet away from everybody. And she's supposed to keep her hand over her mouth. And she's supposed to yell at the top of her lungs, unclean, unclean. That's what she's supposed to do. And so by faith she comes, knowing that she could be stoned. That's what the legalists would do. Knowing that, I mean, it could be ugly. And she's there and she's watching Him, and He comes by. And listen to this. She said, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made well. She'd spent all of her money on doctors. Probably some of them just ripped her off because there was no cure. But what was impossible for man was possible with God. Jesus walks by. She reached out and she touched the hem of His garment. And what did Jesus do? The Bible says He was walking along. All of a sudden He stopped and He turned. And He said, somebody touched me. And of course, you know, you got these redneck fishermen who, there are times they're real sharp and sometimes they're real dull. And I'm thinking of Peter, because I got a little bit of that in me. Well, maybe a lot of that in me. He says, Lord, everybody's pulling on you. Everybody's touching you. There's a throng here. And Jesus looked at him, and I could see those eyes. He said, somebody touched me in faith. And when they touched me, virtue, strength went out of me. And he turned, and it's like the sea of people parted, and there she was. She had fallen down on her face. She knew she was unclean. She knew she deserved to be stoned. That's what the law said. And Jesus looked at her, and she said, I did. He said, stand up, you're healed. You touched me in faith. See, he felt something go out of him. As Spirit-filled believers in Christ, there are times that somebody's going to come up and they're going to hold on to your coattail. And they're not after anything. They just need what you have. They need that strength of Jesus in them. They need that faith. They need that encouragement. They need that. And don't put yourself up on a pedestal, because you'll never know what happens. You're just being who you are in Christ. And they'll just come by and they'll just touch. They just need a little bit of encouragement. Might be a handshake, might be a hug. It might be a card you receive in the mail, unbeknownst. You say, I don't even know who these people are. Doesn't matter. God does. He knows that you would need this encouragement. Folks, that's how the Lord does it. But you see, if we don't function as a body, if we all get selfish and we go our own ways, we got a social club. We'll meet to eat and eat to meet. That's all we do. We're the knife and fork club of St. John's County. That's not what God wants. Amen? Back to that verse, and the fear was on every soul. You know what one of my greatest fears is? God's going to take His hand off of us. That scares me. I mean, he could just say, I'm done with Crescent Beach. If it's all about them, I'm done. If they want, I'm done. So what do? I can't hold his hand down. But if his hand can rest comfortably on us, and he can continue to use us and pour himself through us, his hand will stay there. But if we allow unconfessed sin, we allow folks, the fact that we just get spiritually ornery, that means we get neglectful, and we get sloppy, and we get lazy, and all of a sudden we start taking God for granted, just like Israel did. He's gone. That's my fear. But my joy is to know that he's here and that you're on the same page that I'm on, and we want God's hand, and we want him to continue to use us to encourage and bless others. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to fix everything. That doesn't mean we're going to have all these ministries. No. You got to understand one thing. Studying the Word of God, staying close and clean, and then out of that, God does the ministry. Okay? It's not hiring a bunch of staff. It's not having a bunch of programs. It's not just being busy. That's not it. If you go back and read the text, it says they steadfastly did what? They studied, they learned, they absorbed, they applied the apostles' doctrine, which was the teachings of Jesus. And then what'd they do? And they had fellowship. They didn't have a club. They had fellowship. They didn't have, well, you got to be. No, they had fellowship with one another. One man said this, the rich were never haughty and the poor were never intimidated. That's the church. Why? Because it's all about Jesus. It's not about who I am or where I've been or what do I know or who I know. It's all about Jesus. One closing illustration. Years ago, Sandy's brother was a football coach, and we went, and he told us, he said, when you come, he said, there's a big gate, there's a double gate where the team comes through, then there's a gate where you come through with the tickets. He says, go to the big gate. And he said, I mean, he's the head football coach. He said, I'll get you in. Well, I'm thinking to myself, he's on the field, he's got all his players, he's got everything getting ready to start. He's not going to have time to come over there and wait on us. He's not going to do that. So here we are. We all get out of the car. We've come from Jacksonville. We go up there. And, you know, I'm not a Thomas kind of guy naturally. And I'm thinking, he better not drop the ball on this because if I have to pay to get in and watch him coach a football game, it's going to be ugly. I mean, I'm just thinking all these things run through my mind. So we get up to the gate, and there's this guy standing there. I didn't know him. He goes, oh, you're the coach's family. Opened up the big gate. We walked in. Man, did you see that? I mean, I'm all about getting something free. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that's okay. But, I mean, the fact that he had somebody at the gate, I said, I never even met the guy. Probably if he saw me, he said, get away from the gate. So we're trying to wait on some real people here and get in. But we got in. Now, you know what's going to happen when you get to the gate of heaven? They're going to say, you belong to Jesus. Because you look like him and you act like him, you can come right on in. That's how it's going to work. Why? Because there's a family resemblance when it comes to Jesus. Do you resemble him? Do you resemble him? And see, the proof is in the pudding, folks. Proof is in the life. It's not in a Sunday morning from 9:30 to 12. It's in your life. It's when everything's wrong and everything's not making any sense. That's when the resemblance comes through. Because, you know, Jesus was kind of like everybody else until there was a death. Jesus was like everybody else until somebody needed to get fed. Jesus was like everybody else until the storm broke out on the Sea of Galilee and he went walking on the water. Jesus was just like everybody else until... And see, you and I, we may blend in and be like everybody else until, and then guess what? That's when Jesus shows up. And that's when Jesus shows up in your life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the wonderful, incredible name of Jesus, we come. Lord, we've had a good time today. Good because we've been able to celebrate the life of Miss Doris. We're not saying goodbye to her. We're simply saying see you later. And Lord, we've been able to sing and fellowship. Now we've looked into your word. Lord, it's been a good day. And it's not over because we're going to gather again tonight for some more spiritual food and fellowship. Lord, I pray this morning that you would impress upon each of us that, God, we need each other. We need this place. It's more than a building. It's a fellowship. Knowing that people love us, knowing that people pray for us, knowing that there's times when I can do my part. Lord, that's how you planned it. That's what the church is. So, Lord, I ask today, through the power of your word and through the presence of your spirit, you would search us and try us. And Lord, that you would ask us that question. And we'll have to answer it. Is there a family resemblance in our lives? Do we resemble Jesus? Lord, if not, then we've got to ask the next question. What is it that needs to be repented and confessed of? What needs to be confessed and repented of? God, you're the only one. You'll show us the truth because the Spirit always speaks truth. Now, Lord God, speak, I pray, loud and long until we hear your voice today. For that person who's here who's never been saved, Lord, there may be a lost church member. There may be someone visiting today. The Spirit of God has revealed to them that when it comes to eternity, they have no hope because they're counting on something else outside of Jesus. I pray today they would come, and publicly they would confess Jesus as Savior and Lord. Not to be embarrassed, not to be ashamed. Then God, you'll bless them with a life of faithfulness. So speak to our hearts as individuals, then as a church body. And we'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen.